is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is Pastor Rob Chambers of Reedtown Community Church in Newport, Tennessee. It is our earnest hope and prayer that something will be said or done through word or song that will be a blessing to your heart.
The book of Acts, chapter 2. Be reading the first few verses of the chapter. But we'll only be concentrating on one specific word. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Word of God reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing of mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." We're going to concentrate in the fourth verse. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Concentrating specifically on the one word, filled. Filled. Now, I thought that I might, before I read this text, go back there and lock the door. Because a lot of times in the world that you and I live in today, society, the church world, when you start talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, people get itchy. People get a little worried. What in the world is the preacher going to talk about now? What in the world has the preacher got on his mind being filled with the Holy Ghost? Has he turned into one of them holy rollers? I hope he hadn't turned into one. I hope he was one from the start. But it is a subject, it is a topic, it is a doctrine, a foundational doctrine that the church doesn't seem too concerned and worried about today. When it is elementary, it's a beginning. And if you look at the Word of God, it tells us in Isaiah, I believe, it's precept upon precept upon precept, the Christian life that we live and the faith that we live in Jesus Christ. And one of the very beginning precepts that we have to know and understand is being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's where it starts. That's where it begins, is by being filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I may use Holy Ghost, I may use Holy Spirit, I may use those interchangeably. Means the same thing. I just like the sound of the Holy Ghost better. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. If I wanted to take this half-empty bottle, and it's pretty warm, it's been sitting out in the car all day, it's warm to the touch, it feels like it's the water's hot, I wouldn't want to drink it. If I was going to drink it, I'd want it cold, ice cold. So if I was going to fill this up with ice cold water to drink it, there are some certain things that I'd have to do. You can't change any of the steps, they have to be done in a certain progression. You could try, it wouldn't work. But there are certain things you'd have to do. What was the first thing that we see the apostles and the disciples of our Savior in chapter 2 of Acts? What was the first thing? What was the first step? They gathered together in what? In one mind and in one accord. That means the 11. Judas is gone. The 11 apostles and the others that were with them, they were gathered in the upper room. What were they all thinking about? It's an easy question. Don't look at me like you don't know. How can I answer what they were thinking about, preacher? You know what they were thinking about. There's only one thing they could have been thinking about. What were they thinking about? They were thinking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, how do you know they were all thinking it? Because the Bible says they were in one mind and in one accord. They were thinking about the same thing and they were in agreement. I haven't counted how many are here tonight, but I wonder if we're sitting here in one mind and in one accord. How many of you think we're here in one mind and in one accord? There ain't a whole lot of hands flying up. Wish we were. You made the comment later on about how quiet it was. We was here in one mind and one accord, it wouldn't be quiet. We was in one mind and one accord, I wouldn't get to preach. The big preacher'd come down. Minds go everywhere. And it doesn't take much. The human mind is a flighty thing. It can be thinking about one thing one second, then the next thing it'll be thinking about something else. I'm going to use Crystal for an example. I love her to death, but I cannot follow her train of thought sometimes. We'll be talking about one subject, and all of a sudden she comes up with something else just totally from 90 degrees away. And I said, honey, where did that come from? She said, well, I thought about this, which made me think 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 about this other thing. And I just sit there with my mouth open. That's it. It's just the way women's minds work. It's not anything bad or derogatory. You ladies, you think different than men do. We have a different thought process. We just plod straight ahead, one little thing at a time. You all think in circles. One thing brings something else. That's one problem. Males and females. How do you get males and females in one accord? How do you get older generation and a younger generation in one accord? How do you get people of one socioeconomic class with another in one accord? Some of you have grown up in completely different circumstances than I grew up. How do we get in one mind and one accord? And this is the first thing that we've got to do. Every time we come to worship God, we've got to get in one mind and one accord. The answer is simple. There is one thing that will bring us into one mind and one accord. The same thing that brought those people in the upper room into one mind and one accord, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When every mind and every heart in the congregation is focused and concentrated and yearning and desiring and longing to see and picture our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're in one mind, we're in one accord, and we're ready to start. Until then, it don't matter what happens. Oh, you can have good singing, you can have good preaching, you can have good this, but you can't have a good old-fashioned shout-the-roof-off service until everybody gets in one mind and one accord. That's what we strive for, brother. But it begins before we come to church. You can't wait till you get here to get in one mind and in one accord. You can't wait till you have an altar of prayer to get in one mind and one accord. You can't wait till the choir sings to get in one mind and one accord. You get your mind right before you come to the house of God. Husbands and wives, if that means you don't talk to each other all morning, Sunday morning before you come to church, then don't talk to each other. If you're going to have to stay separated from your children to keep there from being an argument, whatever you have to do to keep your mind on God before church, do it. God will bless you. And you will find as it goes on and progresses, service after service after service, it'll get easier and easier and easier. It'll get easier. All right. We're of one mind and one accord. We want to fill that up with cold water. What we got to do next? Ooh, got to take the lid off. Got to get the cap off. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, what do you have to do? You got to get the cap off. You got to take the seal off your heart. If you read the Word of God, it tells us Christ said, I stand at the door and knock. He's standing at the door knocking right now on every heart. I thought that was just for a lost individual, preacher. No. He stands at the door and knocks of every heart because every heart that is alive and beating in the world today needs Him inside it. needs His Spirit. And if for some reason, somehow, His Spirit gets moved out, which the Word says, He won't dwell in an unclean vessel. The vessel gets clean, the heart gets impure, He'll slide.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is Pastor Rob Chambers of Reedtown Community Church in Newport, Tennessee. It is our earnest hope and prayer that something will be said or done through word or song that will be a blessing to your heart.
The book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll be reading the first few verses of the chapter. But we'll only be concentrating on one specific word. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Word of God reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing of mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." We're going to concentrate in the fourth verse. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Concentrating specifically on the one word, filled. Filled. Now I thought that I might, before I read this text, go back there and lock the door. Because a lot of times in the world that you and I live in today, society, the church world, when you start talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, people get itchy. People get a little worried. What in the world is the preacher going to talk about now? What in the world has the preacher got on his mind being filled with the Holy Ghost? Has he turned into one of them holy rollers? I hope he hadn't turned into one. I hope he was one from the start. But it is a subject, it is a topic, it is a doctrine, a foundational doctrine that the church doesn't seem too concerned and worried about today. When it is elementary, it's a beginning. And if you look at the Word of God, it tells us in Isaiah, I believe, it's precept upon precept upon precept, the Christian life that we live and the faith that we live in Jesus Christ. And one of the very beginning precepts that we have to know and understand is being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's where it starts. That's where it begins, is by being filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I may use Holy Ghost, I may use Holy Spirit, I may use those interchangeably. Means the same thing. I just like the sound of the Holy Ghost better. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. If I wanted to take this half-empty bottle, and it's pretty warm, it's been sitting out in the car all day, it's warm to the touch, it feels like the water's hot, I wouldn't want to drink it. If I was going to drink it, I'd want it cold, ice cold. So if I was going to fill this up with ice cold water to drink it, there are some certain things that I'd have to do. You can't change any of the steps, they have to be done in a certain progression. You could try, it wouldn't work. But there are certain things you'd have to do. What was the first thing that we see the apostles and the disciples of our Savior in chapter 2 of Acts? What was the first thing? What was the first step? They gathered together in what? In one mind and in one accord. That means the 11. Judas is gone. The 11 apostles and the others that were with them, they were gathered in the upper room. What were they all thinking about? It's an easy question. Don't look at me like you don't know. How can I answer what they were thinking about, preacher? You know what they were thinking about. There's only one thing they could have been thinking about. What were they thinking about? They were thinking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, how do you know they were all thinking it? Because the Bible says they were in one mind and in one accord. They were thinking about the same thing and they were in agreement. I haven't counted how many are here tonight, but I wonder if we're sitting here in one mind and in one accord. How many of you think we're here in one mind and in one accord? There ain't a whole lot of hands flying up. Wish we were. You made the comment later on about how quiet it was. We was here in one mind and one accord, it wouldn't be quiet. We was in one mind and one accord, I wouldn't get to preach. The big preacher would come down. Minds go everywhere. And it doesn't take much. The human mind is a flighty thing. It can be thinking about one thing 1 second, and the next thing it'll be thinking about something else. I'm going to use Crystal for an example. I love her to death, but I cannot follow her train of thought sometimes. We'll be talking about one subject, and all of a sudden she comes up with something else just totally from 90 degrees away. And I said, honey, where did that come from? She said, well, I thought about this, which made me think 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 about this other thing. And I just sit there with my mouth open. That's it. It's just the way women's minds work. It's not anything bad or derogatory. You ladies, you think different than men do. We have a different thought process. We just plod straight ahead, one little thing at a time. You all think in circles. One thing brings something else. That's one problem. Males and females. How do you get males and females in one accord? How do you get older generation and a younger generation in one accord? How do you get people of one socioeconomic class with another in one accord? Some of you have grown up in completely different circumstances than I grew up. How do we get in one mind and one accord? And this is the first thing that we've got to do. Every time we come to worship God, we've got to get in one mind and one accord. The answer is simple. There is one thing that will bring us into one mind and one accord. The same thing that brought those people in the upper room into one mind and one accord, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When every mind and every heart in the congregation is focused and concentrated and yearning and desiring and longing to see and picture our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're in one mind, we're in one accord, and we're ready to start. Until then, it don't matter what happens. Oh, you can have good singing, you can have good preaching, you have good this, but you can't have a good old-fashioned shout-the-roof-off service until everybody gets in one mind and one accord. That's what we strive for, brother. But it begins before we come to church. You can't wait till you get here to get in one mind and in one accord. You can't wait till you have an altar of prayer to get in one mind and one accord. You can't wait till the choir sings to get in one mind and one accord. You get your mind right before you come to the house of God. Husbands and wives, if that means you don't talk to each other all morning, Sunday morning before you come to church, then don't talk to each other. If you're going to have to stay separated from your children to keep there from being an argument, whatever you have to do to keep your mind on God before church, do it. God will bless you. And you will find as it goes on and progresses, service after service after service, it'll get easier and easier and easier. It'll get easier. All right. We're of one mind and one accord. We want to fill that up with cold water. What we got to do next? Ooh, got to take the lid off. Got to get the cap off. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, what do you have to do? You got to get the cap off. You got to take the seal off your heart. If you read the Word of God, it tells us Christ said, I stand at the door and knock. He's standing at the door knocking right now in every heart. I thought that was just for a lost individual, preacher. No. He stands at the door and knocks of every heart, because every heart that is alive and beating in the world today needs Him inside it. Needs His Spirit. And if for some reason, somehow, His Spirit gets moved out, which the Word says, He won't dwell in an unclean vessel. The vessel gets clean, the heart gets impure, He'll slide out of the way. If you want filth, He'll let you have your filth. But He'll stand outside and He'll knock. He'll knock. He'll peck. He won't pound. He won't beat on the door. He won't holler at you, but He'll knock. He'll knock. What does the Bible say will happen if we hear Him knocking? What does it tell us we're supposed to do when we hear Him knocking? What? We're supposed to open the door. Open the door of our hearts. If we want the Holy Spirit of God in us, if we want to have a life rich and blessed by the Holy Ghost of God, we've got to open our heart to Him. We've got to take the cap off. He won't kick the door down. He won't rip the top off. He won't knock His way in. He won't take a battering ram and beat it down. If you watch TV and you watch the police dramas on TV, they got this big battering ram. They'll hit the door and knock it three or four rooms back into the house and charge. He won't do that. He won't come into a place where He's not been invited. You have to willingly open up to Him. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Where are you going with this? God wants us to know the process for being filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants us to know what it is. Some of the younger generation may not know. Some of the older generation may not know. God wants Reed Town Church tonight to know what it takes to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, because God wants to fill us. God wants to fill us. He wants to fill us for worship, for praise, for service. We can't be used by God until He first fills us. God wants to fill us tonight. And we can't be filled unless we first know how. We've got the cap off. Now I've got to be careful or I'll have water everywhere. We've got the cap off. What do we have to do next? We got to get that hot water out, don't we? If I pour cold water in there of that hot water, what am I going to have? I'm going to have a bottle of lukewarm water, and what does the Word of God say about lukewarm water? He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I would rather you were hot or cold. I despise lukewarm water, God says, and I do too. I'd rather have hot water. I'd rather have a mouthful of hot water than a mouthful of lukewarm water. God would rather have... It doesn't seem like it would make much sense, but the Word of God stands. God would rather you be hot or cold. God would rather you be cold against Him than to be lukewarm. He says so Himself. We got to get this out. I don't have anything to pour this in, so we'll not pour that out. We'll just imagine that it's emptied out. We've got to get this out. To get the Holy Ghost of God inside of us, we've got to empty out what's inside. And there's a whole long laundry list of things that can be inside. Self, greed, envy, sloth, any matter of impurities, you name it, it can be in here. You wouldn't think the human heart's that big. You can have anything in the world in there you want to have. You can put anything in the world that you can imagine in front of God. It's up to you. It's up to the individual. It could be your car. It could be your dog. It could be your job. It could be your children. It could be your spouse. It could be your self. It could be anything. We don't have time to stand here and name the list. It could be anything. Anything means anything. Literally anything could be in here. And if there's anything in here that takes the place of God, it's what? It's in the way. It's in the way. If I was to take a rock, you know, small enough that would fit in the neck of this bottle, but large enough that you could see it, and I put it in there, and I poured water in the top of that bottle until it overflowed, would that bottle be full of water? No. There would be an impurity. There can be no impurities with God. God will not commingle with sin. God will not even look upon sin. When His own Son hung on the cross of Calvary, not His sin, but my sin and yours, He took upon His shoulders. God would not even look on His own Son as He hung there and died because of sin. God will not, cannot, never will fill an individual who's not pure. It's easy to get this bottle empty. All I have to do is this. And in a couple seconds, this bottle will be empty and ready for me to fill back up. How do you empty yourself? See, it's a little bit more difficult to empty a person than it is a bottle, because there are some things that are involved on an individual basis. The first one involves humility. The first one involves the bending of a knee, which involves the bending of a will, which involves swallowing pride. Preacher, you make it sound complicated. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Because once you begin the process, God takes over. Once you're committed and you want the process to begin, you want it to take place, all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus, and the rest of it comes automatically. The rest of it will follow. He'll walk with you through the steps. His Spirit won't come in yet, but He's getting ready to. He's getting ready to step over the threshold of your heart. But He'll help you purify yourself. He'll help you put everything else aside. Now, I've got the cap off. This is empty. And I want to fill that. What if I decide I don't want cold water? What if I want Coca-Cola? What if I want tea? What if I want coffee? What if I want to fill it with sugar? Dirt? I can fill it whatever I want to fill it with, can't I? Why? Because it's mine. Actually, it's not mine. I borrowed it, but just imagine, it's mine. I can put whatever I want to put in that. It will fill with whatever I want it to. It will fill. It will fill with something. If I empty all the water out, what will happen? It'll fill up with air. Unless we do something to seal it and create a vacuum inside to where there's nothing, but naturally, that will not stay empty. It'll fill with something. Your heart fills with something. It fills with the love of Jesus Christ, or it fills with something out of the world. That's the two choices. Remember we talked about choices today? There's always choices. There's Jesus, then there's everything else. Everything else, there's an infinite number of choices. But basically, it's Jesus or whatever. What we fill our hearts with, it's what we talk about, what we see, what we listen to, what we read, what we watch on TV, whatever we do all day long, the things that we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, that's what we're filled with. That's how you get filled. If you want to sit and watch smut, you'll be filled with smut. If you want dirty language, you'll be filled with dirty language. Whatever comes in through your eyes, your ears, your mouth, whatever your senses take in, that's what's inside you. Why do you think the Bible says to keep yourself pure and unspotted before God? Because if you get out into filth and you get out into sin and the nastiness, where does it end up? It ends up in the heart. I want to fill this with cold water. I mean, I really want some cold water right now. If I'm going to fill this with cold water, I've got to what? I got to go get some cold water, don't I? I got to go to the source. I got to go to the source. And I ain't real fond of city water. Don't care for it. I much prefer good old-fashioned spring water or nice cold well water. But I've got to go to the source of whatever it is I'm going to fill it with. That's where I got to go. Where are you going to fill your heart at? You're going to have to go to the source. You're going to have to go to the source. You're going to have to go to God. You're going to have to ask Him, invite Him in. Remember we said He was there knocking? You're emptied out. Clean. Nothing's left inside. Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Bang, bang, there He is. You don't have to invite Him twice. You don't have to say, he's been waiting a long time to get in. When you invite Him the first time, He's there. He's ready. He's ready to move in and take up habitation with you. Now, real quick, before I stop, if I'm going to fill this up, is that full? Is that full? Is this full? Obviously, you people don't work for any of the food companies that where I buy my groceries at. You buy a bag of potato chips today, and it ain't nowhere near full. You buy a box of cookies or a pack of cookies or crackers or something, it may be, in my opinion, it's about a third of the way full. I guess they're counting the air, too, whatever it is they're selling. It ain't full of that. This isn't full. This isn't full. This isn't full. Where's full? When it comes over the top. When it's rolling over the sides. That's full. That's what Jesus does, Brother Otha. He fills you to overflowing. He makes sure you're full. He don't try to cheat you. He gives you everything that you ask for. That's why the little kids sing the songs, "My cup is full and running over." Jesus blesses abundantly. Now, the minute I take a sip out of that bottle, and usually my sips aren't small sips, there's going to be a difference. The level's going to go down. Am I full? Or will the bottle be full? I won't be. Will the bottle be full? When I take a big gulp out of there, will the bottle be full?
No.
So many times Christians run around in the world today and they claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, but they're a half full bottle. They're half full. You're only filled with the Holy Spirit of God when He's bubbling over in you. That's one reason when we sing the songs of Zion and we're in the choir and we're singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus and nothing but the blood," there ain't no bubbling because we ain't full. We're half full. I'm not saying we're lost. I'm not saying you're backslidden. I'm just saying you ain't full. I'm saying God wants you to be full. He wants you to be brimming over and overflowing. He wants you to be excited about things you can't stand yourself, much less anybody else. Because that's the individual that God can use. He can't use someone half full. Because they're going to be able to only able to do half the things He's going to call on them to do. They don't have the fuel. They don't have the gas. They don't have the oomph to finish the fight. And God will not put somebody in a position that He knows will fail. If you fail, it's your own fault. It's not God's. Again, that's choice. It's choice. Believe me. You choose to fail. This right now, maybe two-thirds full. Hot, ugh, water. What good is this right now? None. Other than for me to use as an illustration, it's of no use whatsoever. A Christian, half to two-thirds full, lukewarm, what use are they to God?
Think about it.
None. What's going to happen to this water in here very shortly after the service? It's going to be poured out. The bottle might be reused again for something. I don't know. Christian, child of God, when you're two-thirds of the way full and lukewarm, God can't use you. You're of no use to God. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean you're not still, doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You've got some. You just ain't full. You just ain't where you need to be. And the goal of each one of us is to stay day by day in the life we walk where we need to be with God. Oh, I just don't, God don't ever talk to me. I don't hear from God because you ain't full. I don't understand what God has for me in my life because you ain't full. I don't know what God wants me to do. It's because you ain't full. I don't know because you ain't full. If you don't know, it's because you ain't full. I don't understand. If you're full, you'll understand shortly. When you're first introduced with whatever the question or topic is, you may not understand right off, but God will quickly bring you the answer if you're full of the Holy Ghost of God. He won't keep you in the dark. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you remember when you were saved? And I hope and trust everyone here today is a child of God. I don't know your heart. But do you remember the day when you came to an altar and you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Do you remember that feeling? Sure you do. Sure you do. You can't forget it. It was the day you first were filled. Remember what that feeling felt like? My Lord, my Savior, my King Jesus Christ, He's standing up here right now. And He has a great big container of ice cold water. He wants to fill you. He wants to fill you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. He wants to fill you to overflowing. He wants to bless you to the point where you cannot contain the blessings that He has for you. But we've got to get in one mind and one accord. We've got to open up our heart. We've got to get what's inside out. Whether it be impurities, whether it be sin, whether it be guilt, whether it be just lukewarm, half-filled Christian attitudes, we've got to empty it out and we've got to invite Him to come and fill it. He's standing there ready. He's got the source right now. He's ready to fill you. Man, He's ready to fill you because He's got all kinds of things for you to do. And He's been waiting for you for a long time to get filled so He can use you. Come to the altar tonight. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. We hope that you've enjoyed our podcast presentation. If you would like more information about the church or any additional podcast, please join us on the web at www.readtowncommunitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. That's spelled Reedtown Community Church Podcast.blogspot.com. Thank you and God bless.